Matthew chapter number 15. I've been bubbling over since Thursday night, man. Let me tell you something, man. I had a struggle all this week. My wife's out of town. I'm glad she got to go. I'm glad she was up there. But, man, I was struggling. I'm talking about struggling mentally, struggling spiritually. I thank God for a good friend of mine texted me the other morning. He said, "Hey, how is your heart?" He said, "I know you want y'all okay?" We need preachers to be held accountable. Somebody say amen right there. This good friend of mine sent me a text. He said, "How is your heart?" And then he followed it up with, "Your wife's out of town. I know there are things that come up on your phone, make you want to look at other things." Somebody say amen right there. There are things, y'all okay? There's things come up in your life. How is your heart? I sent him back a text. I said, "Well, spiritually, I'm struggling." Amen. Now, I know y'all don't do that, you good spiritual-filled people. Y'all don't ever struggle spiritually, but your pastor does. Now, I thank God that in the same struggle that brought struggle, there was victory. And I'm glad to report to you that there is victory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Matthew chapter number 15. I think I got some glasses somewhere around here. We're just going to read three verses. And I probably ain't going to preach very long. I'll say that. Then I'll preach 45, 50 minutes. Amen. Who knows? It'll be all right. We sung 45 minutes. We can preach 45 minutes. Amen. Matthew chapter number 15 and verse number 29. "And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others. And watch this, cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel." Heavenly Father, please help me this morning. Recall to my memory what I have studied and allow me to preach to your people from your word and magnify your word in your holy name. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for what you've done. Lord, truly, the half hasn't been told. Bless your holy name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In verse number 29, the Bible says, "And Jesus departed thence." Now, where did he come from? He come from Tyre and Sidon. Now, the reason that that is significant, and we learn from Mark chapter number 7 that he was in a place called Decapolis, which means 10 cities, or there was actually 14 of them down there. But he had been in Galilee, which is where he is at this story. But he had went to Tyre and Sidon. Now, what makes that significant, and the reason that I bring it up, is because Tyre and Sidon are about 20 miles away from each other, and from Tyre all the way down to Galilee, where the Lord is, at the place where I read, is about 30 miles. And so for him to go on up to Sidon is 50 miles. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that before those verses happen that I just read to you, Jesus had walked a total of either 80 or 100 miles from, y'all okay with that? Y'all get what I'm saying here? Now, to put that in perspective, from our exit is exit number 26 down here at Liberty Road, Mirror Lake Boulevard, whatever you want to call it, out to the Alabama state line is 26 miles. Jesus walked three times that or more up to Tyre and Sidon and then back down to Galilee. And the only thing he did there in Tyre and Sidon was heal that little Syrophoenician lady of her infirmity. Amen. That's what he done. He went all that distance, all that walk, all that way just so he could meet the need of one little lady. And then he came back, and the Bible says he went into a place, and Mark chapter 7 declares that it is Decapolis, and he goes down through there and he goes to a desert place where he can be alone for a little while. But a bunch of people followed him out of that place. A bunch of people who needed Jesus went to where Jesus was. I'd like to submit to you this morning, I believe you've come here not because you had any pomp or any circumstance, but because every single one of you in here needs Jesus, and you need something from Jesus, and you need something from the Word. And so you gather together with Gateway Baptist Church because you need something that you can't get at home. You need something that you can't find nowhere else. You need something that only Jesus can give. You need something that Jesus has got ready for you. You need something that you're not going to get in the world. Amen. You need something that you're not going to find in a club. You need something that you're not going to find anywhere else but down at the church house. And so you go to where Jesus is. Now, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, is what the Bible teaches us. Amen. We have liberty. That's why these people can raise their hands. I'm glad that I'm in a church where people can raise their hands. I'm glad that I'm in a church where ain't nobody telling me I got to raise my hands. I just raise my hands to the Lord. Amen. I'm glad that I'm in a church where ain't nobody got to tell me that I got to shout at a certain point. I can shout when I feel like it. Amen. You okay? I ain't in a place where somebody's instructing me on what worship is. I can free and am free to worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen? And so Jesus is there, and the Bible says that they came to him, that he was up in that mountain, and he sat down there. So I believe after walking 80-100 miles, he deserved to be able to sit down, don't you think? The farthest I've ever run is about 27 miles. And I'm going to tell you, after the end of that 27 miles, you want to sit down. Jesus sat down, and here come the people. I thank God that Jesus is not like me and you. He didn't say, I just walked all those miles. I've just been through all of this, so I'm not going to help nobody. You imagine if those people would have brought the lame, the sick, the blind, and I like this one, the maimed. If he had brought them to them, and or to him, and Jesus would have said, no, I'm too tired right now. No, I ain't got time right now. No, I don't want to deal with them right now. Now we start, oh, Jesus wouldn't never do that. No, but you will. I'm too tired right now. I just ain't got time right now. I got such and such going on, so I can't help nobody right now. Friend of mine, that's a bad place to be, and it's a spiritually inept place to be. Jesus, if we're doing what Jesus did, that means we're sacrificing of ourselves, of our time, of how we feel. We're putting the needs of others ahead of what's going on in our life and what situation we're facing and what we're dealing with, and we find that there's somebody that needs something that I can give them through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse number 30, and great multitudes came to him. Now in just a few minutes we could read it, but we're not going to unless the Lord leads otherwise. Jesus feeds the 4,000 besides women and children. Now if you were here last week, you heard us talk about the 5,000 that were fed. There were two separate instances where Jesus fed thousands of men, women, boys and girls. Amen. At this time it could have been 12 to 16,000. The Bible says great multitudes, not a great multitude singular, but great multitudes. That means bands of people just kept coming. People just kept, y'all right? Some of you not getting that. It wasn't just one multitude that walked up. There were several people that just kept coming, kept coming, kept coming. The Bible tells us that about 3 days goes by and Jesus is still just out there healing and out there working and out there giving those people exactly what they stand in need of. Great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame. Now that word lame is exactly what you think. It means people who cannot walk on their own. People who could not get there by themselves. They needed somebody to bring them to Jesus. When was the last time you had one of your lame friends that you brought them to Jesus? When was the last time that you knew of somebody that couldn't get to church and you brought them on down to the church house? When was the last time that you found out about somebody who couldn't make it out there and so you decided I'm going to sacrifice a little bit and I'm going to bring them to where Jesus is? They're lame. They cannot get there on their own. And so I'm just going to bring them to Jesus. The lame people were brought in these multitudes. Many lame people, not just one lame person. The book of Mark only notes one person, but there were multitudes here in this same story in the book of Matthew, having with them those that were lame and then those that were blind. There are people who could not see how to get to Jesus, but somebody brought them anyway. Can you imagine that? Somebody could not see, but they could hear Jesus as he healed them. You think about that. Let that sit down in your mind. Here's a blind man. Here's a blind woman. They've never seen anything, or perhaps they did see, and they had went blind. See, the Greek word for the word blind means to have a cover of smoke. Could you imagine having the ability to see and then not having the ability to see? Some of you understand what that's like, and you know exactly what that's like. And so here is this people who are blind, the Bible says, and Jesus is healing and working, and they don't know exactly what he looks like. They don't know all the details. They just know that somebody is carrying them to Jesus. They're blind. The Bible goes on to say not only that they're blind, but there are some that were dumb. That means that they could not speak or talk either at all, or they could not speak plainly. I couldn't help but think of the people that I have run into in my life that were not able, and you can see the frustration on their face when they can't get something out and they want to get something out. They want to convey to you something that's going on, and for whatever reason, they're unable to speak. And that's what Jesus is dealing with here. Could you imagine the people that came walking with them? They're not blind, they're not lame, but they are mute. And they've struggled for years, and they've just wanted to convey to someone that they need help, or that they need deliverance, or that they need strength, or whatever it may be. And they've not been able to convey that. And in one instant, God, through the power of, or God through the power of himself in Jesus, by Jesus, opens their mouth. And they begin to speak. Amen. That's incredible. And then those that are maimed. Now, the word maimed means either that something had happened to them and they could not carry themselves, or they were in such bad shape that they needed someone. And the Bible just frankly says that he healed them. But before that, the Bible says that all those people that I just listed to you, the lame, the blind, the dumb, the maimed, and many others, that they cast them. They cast them. Why is that significant, preacher? Because it quite literally means, come here, my lane. Now, just to prepare you, I'm going to throw you pretty hard. Okay? And so, he's my boy. I can do it if I want to. He's sick. He's blind. He's lame. He's maimed. He can't make it on his own. And those people, they cast him. Y'all okay? He did pretty good, didn't he? Sit down. Thank you. They cast them. This wasn't like that they loved them.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Come on.
Y'all all right? Those were the people that society wanted to get rid of. They were the people that nobody else wanted. They were the people that didn't have everything right. They didn't have all their ducks in a row. They didn't have everything that needed to be done. They didn't have any money. They didn't have anything to offer. They couldn't give anything. They couldn't contribute to society. And so these people brought them to Jesus, even with a lack of love. Y'all all right? and they threw them at Jesus' feet. And Jesus healed them. I'm glad to report to you that Jesus can take the outcast that you don't want, you don't love, you don't care about, you just going to be nice to because that's the thing to do, and you bring them down there to Jesus, and Jesus heals them there. Can you imagine that lame guy that got up and walked? What about that? Can you imagine that blind man that opened his eyes for the first time and the first face he sees is Jesus? Can you imagine that maimed person who had lost their hand, lost their foot, had something wrong with them, and Jesus made them whole there that day after they had been brutally cast down at the feet of Jesus? I'm glad that Jesus takes people who aren't perfect and makes them whole. What you're looking at is just an old wicked sinner that got saved. That's all you're looking at. I identify heavily with the first few words of that song that says, I was a wretch. I remember who I was. Yeah. Uh-huh. See, that's the problem, is a lot of you done forgot what God brought you from. Amen. You done forgot that you was just cast down at Jesus' feet. Well, we can't get no good out of him. Maybe Jesus can get something good out of him. I'm glad that Jesus said, all right, bet, we'll do it, amen. We'll get something good out of it. Y'all all right? Y'all okay? Jesus can take your broken life. Jesus can take your hurt. Jesus can take your discouragement. Jesus can take your brokenness and change it into something for his glory. Watch this. Verse number 31 said, insomuch that the multitude wondered. I don't know if they really thought Jesus would do anything with them, but he did. I don't think that they thought Jesus would really work with them, but he did. I wonder if it was some of the Pharisees that brought those people to him. That they maybe they come up to him and they say, well, they've been a burden on the synagogue for years. We'll just throw them out at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus heals them. Wouldn't that be something? Because some of you said that about people sitting next to you. They've been a burden to the church for years. Bring them to Jesus! When was the last time you carried somebody to Jesus in prayer? Here's what I've learned. You start praying for somebody, you're going to quit talking about them. You start bringing somebody to Jesus, and your life and their life will change. You look around, you think about somebody that's not here right now that should be here, and instead of saying, well, they just lost their mind, they just ain't no account, I just don't know what we're going to do, and why don't you call their name out to God in prayer. Say, I'm going to ask God to help them. I'm going to ask God to move in their life. I'm going to ask God to bless them. I'm going to bring them to Jesus. I'm going to cast them at his feet. I didn't say that you had to love them. I just said you ought to throw them at Jesus' feet. You all right? A lot of Christians, it isn't, they don't care. They like to act like they care. We like to act like we're super spiritual, don't we? Yep. Let me throw my tie on Sunday morning. Come on. Let me button everything up and let me look just proper and just right. Let me go into church with my best clothes on. Thank God, I'm glad you do. I'm glad you do. But when somebody comes in here that ain't got good clothes, amen, somebody comes in here and they're covered up in the world's sin, or they've made a bunch of mistakes and they've carried this sin and this shame all of their lives, it should be the priority of the church to get them to Jesus. Point them to Calvary and let Jesus help them. The people wondered. They wondered when they saw the dumb to speak. I wonder when those dumb people's mouths were opened if they didn't just automatically say, glory to God in the highest. Yes, sir. What about that? Maybe they even threw in there, with peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Everybody else is doing Christmas in July. I just figured I would too. Maybe when they saw those people who had been dumb and they began to speak and they said, glory to God, or they shouted the praise of Jesus and the maimed to be made whole. And I remember that guy, his hand was cut off, but Jesus restored his hand. Well, if he could put Malchus's ear back on, surely he could restore a hand that had been cut off. Or y'all all right? The maimed were made whole when they came to Jesus, when they were brought to Jesus. Thank God for his work that he done. The lame were rising up and walking. The blind were made to see. And here is the effect. God was glorified. If we as a church start glorifying people more than God, we have missed the mark.
Yes, sir.
You young people, y'all did great, you wonderful songs, but I'm going to tell you something. If you let that get in your head, somebody comes up to you well-intentioned, they say, oh, bless your heart, you did so good on that song. Y'all sounded so pretty. I'm so proud of you, and I am, guys, I mean that. But I promise you, if you allow that to go into your head, you're going to think this church service can't operate without you. And it will. Don't get your feelings hurt. I'm trying to keep these kids from getting consumed with pride. It happens. I know. I live through it. I remember I was called to preach. I was 12 years old when I was called to preach, and I got put in the pulpit of a big church, great big old church. There must have been 350 people there. One of the first messages, it was the first message I ever preached. Great big old church down in Lithia Springs. I was standing up there, and man, I had my hair, because back in them days you spiked your hair, and I had my hair spiked, and I had my little clip-on tie on, and my little belly, because, well, the belly ain't went nowhere, but I had it all, and man, I thought I just looked good, and I got up there, and I just preached, and I remember the pastor, he sat on the front row, and he'd laugh and he'd clap his hands. He'd shout it out. My daddy was there with him. He'd shout it out. Woo, that done, man. That boy sure is preaching. We come out, and there's about 300 people walk past me and said, boy, I sure did enjoy that. And I'm going to tell you, I walked out of that church. My head was so stinking big that I couldn't hardly get through the double doors. I thought, y'all right? I thought they couldn't do anything without me. I thought, man, they needed Brother Josh Agin that morning. Those people needed me. It was so good. Man, they just had to get a hold of me. And I began to swell with pride, and you know what that pride told me? The pride said, man, you did so good, you just take that message that you preached there and you preach it somewhere else. That'll be all right. You ain't gotta study no more. Just preach that message. So I went down there and I to another church and I preached, and man, it happened again. And there's people, this time that preacher took up a love offering. Amen. Y'all all right? You know what happens to a 12-year-old boy when a couple hundred people walk by and put money in his hand? Oh, by the time I was 13, from 12 to 13, by the time I was 13, I was standing in the hallway at school, and I was cussing at everybody that come by. It don't take long for pride to get in your head, guys, and it'll destroy your testimony. I would much rather you realize that you are just like your pastor. You're broken and you need the Lord every single day. It's not about your ability to sing. It's not about what you can do. It's not about the things that are about you. It's about glorifying God. And when you decide that you're going to glorify God in everything that you do, you're going to glorify God in all your life. I'm just picking out all our young people. Amen. I'll find you. You stay right where you are. I'll find you. I want you to know that it's not about you. It's about glorifying God. And if you will make up your mind this morning that you're going to glorify God in everything. You know what they've started? They've started groups keeping each other accountable.
Yes, sir.
I told my Sunday school class this morning, I said, guys, that sounds great, but if somebody confides in you and you take that outside the group chat and you turn it into gossip, it ain't going to help nobody, and you're going to kill the whole spiritual aspect of that. Amen? Y'all right?
Amen.
Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Bring them to Jesus. Amen. Bring your heart to Jesus. Bring your life to Jesus. And let Him work. And then all the people can glorify. You know, there ain't no reason. There is no reason why that what you've seen here this morning can't happen every single Sunday. No reason. No reason why it can't happen every Sunday. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to wake up tomorrow morning. And it ain't going to be as bad tomorrow morning. It will be, but some of you are going to walk into the workplace and you're going to be bombarded with everything that the world has to offer. And you're going to choose whether or not you will bring them to Jesus or you will just join in with them. You'll choose that. Every single one of us will. The week after that, you guys, you're going to start back school. And all your buddies that you was hanging out with, all your friends that thought you were cool, the way you were talking, while you were down there at the schoolhouse, they're going to be exactly the same. They're not going to change. You're going to think, man, I got to act this way if I want to be accepted by them. I want to tell you something I learned a long time ago. It's a whole lot better to know that you're accepted in the beloved than it is to know that you're accepted by the brethren. Let the Lord work in your heart and in your life. I told you I had to preach. Wouldn't it be something if Gateway got known? You go down there to Gateway, you're going to hear some good singing, but you're going to hear some preaching too. Some of you done decided, you already decided this morning you're not going to come to the altar because the service has been too long. You done made that decision in your mind. Some of you done said, you ain't. Some of you done cut me off. And if you can't connect with Wi-Fi, you ain't got no phone service in here, so you can't look on your phone. Whoop, amen. That might be by design. I want you to come to Jesus. And I want you to get something that's going to last for a long, 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 long time. I want you to continue going. I want you to continue in that fervency that you have this morning, brother. When you stood up here on Sunday mornings and you're excited to be here, I want that fervency to stay with you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I want it to stay with you. I want that fervency when you go out into the world to stay with you. I don't want it to be just to hear while you're at church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I want you to have the fervor of the Lord every single day of the week. I've said this for a while, and I want to say it again. I believe Gateway Baptist Church is on the cusp of revival. Right there on the edge of it. And we are only as strong as the weakest church member we have here. We can grow in the Lord and get what we need from Him. But don't let God hinder, or don't let the devil hinder you from serving God. Father, in Jesus' name, you know, Lord. You know, Lord, what we stood in need of. You know what I stood in need of. God, you brought me through. You strengthened, you uplift, you encouraged, you helped. God, I pray that your people got something from this service today. God, what good is it if we don't walk away glorifying you? Keep you as the focus of our lives. Lord, help me to be on fire. Help me, Lord, to be filled and to be full of you. Help me, Lord, to be accountable to my church. Help me, Lord, to be accountable to my wife, my family. Lord, help us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Would you stand with us this morning?